Matthew Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. Today's episode is inspired by my mother. For some reason, my mother almost never listens to the broadcast, although at her request I've showed her many times and written out how to access the show through going to the complete archives at www.radioforall.net and searching for Bucky, or by visiting www.buckybacall.org and clicking on the sample shows there. She grew up on a very small dairy farm, and when she was very young, they kept a few chickens, so sometimes I think she's over it, so to speak. I've noticed that some folks who grew up with agriculture move off the farm and never want to revisit any of it, while others feel trapped in an urban or suburban life and long to return to the farm. And it's not like the former necessarily had a bad experience, or the latter never experienced hardship. Sometimes it seems almost random. Conversely, I find there's no way of predicting whether folks who grew up urban, like me, will militantly avoid all exposure to the actual production of so much as a geranium, or become completely fascinated with food production and move to a farm or start, say, an urban chickening movement. I'm not sure which category Mom is in, but although she never listens to this broadcast, lately she spends a lot of time telling friends and distant relatives I've never met all about it. I'm glad she's proud to promote the broadcast and the agenda, because between my demanding job in a distinctly non-agricultural enterprise and my other passion, crooning to my ukulele as Roberto Buscarsi, I don't pimp the broadcast as often as I'd like to. Also, she sometimes gets feedback, which she promptly forwards to me, that comes from a perspective I rarely hear directly, that of people who felt pressured to listen to the show by a third party and aren't already fans, friends, or fellow chickeners. Last week, she forwarded an email from a distant second aunt once removed via second marriage or some such, and at first I just rolled my eyes in exasperation, but I quickly changed my mind and realized it was just the kind of question those of us carrying the backyard agenda need to be ready to respond to, so I'm going to share it.
Interesting article in the Huffington Post you sent. A real good picture of your son and his friend or fiancé or whatever. I hope they are aware of the health problems from living with these chickens. When I was 15, I had a chest x-ray and an infection showed up, which was histoplasmosis. I had to have skin tests every few weeks for quite some time. They said it was caused from being around pigs and chickens, which my family raised. I'm very allergic to feathers.
I have to admit, I dismiss this offhand as being an obvious case of her family keeping too many chickens in too small an area and not cleaning often enough. I also suspected that she was probably a sickly or malnourished child and that her weak immune system made her susceptible. But on second thought, I decided to refresh my memory on my knowledge of histoplasmosis and do some basic research to see what credible sources were saying about the disease and microflock chickening. I consulted the Disease Control and Prevention, acronym CDC, website, www.cdc.gov, a very mainstream source, as well as a bunch of other agricultural extension offices and a few internet discussion boards, and for the most part, I confirmed my impression. Histoplasmosis, a disease that mostly affects the lungs, but sometimes also the eyes, is caused by a fungus. I remember once having a phlegmy cough for 3 solid weeks and becoming convinced there was a mushroom culture in my lungs, but that was during the period when I moved back to New York and given up chickening for over a year. At any rate, the fungus can be carried in the poop of any animal. Fertile, nitrogen-rich poop is its favored medium, so that's where birds, bats, and chickens come in. The fungus has been found in poultry house litter, caves, areas harboring bats, and in bird roosts, particularly those of starlings. It thrives in crowded, unhygienic conditions, and is actually kind of difficult to catch most of the time. Histoplasmosis is not contagious. A person can only get it by inhalation of the fungus spores from infected soil that becomes airborne. As with many pathogens, sunlight kills it. It only thrives in moist, warm environments, but is unlikely to spread unless conditions then become dry enough for the spores to spread. According to the CDC, 99% of histoplasmosis cases are found in the Ohio and Mississippi River Valley. Kentuckians and Floridians tend to know about it. Johnny Cash sings about catching it from bird droppings in his song Beans for Breakfast. It's rare in New York, less than a dozen cases a year, and the New York State Department of Health doesn't specify how many are associated with chickens. In Idaho, it's even more rare, and reported cases are associated with bat caves. In truth, the actual number of infections is probably higher, but that's because the vast majority of infectees experience no symptoms, or symptoms so mild medical attention is not sought, and the fungus runs its course. People with suppressed immune systems are more likely to be symptomatic. Somewhat famously, Bob Dylan was hospitalized due to histoplasmosis in 1997, causing the cancellation of concerts in the United Kingdom and Switzerland. However, even in the worst cases, it's treatable with antifungal medications. To be fair to my second step aunt once removed, medical treatment may have not been as developed in her childhood years. An infection usually results in higher resistance to subsequent infection. The list of at-risk occupations from CDC include bridge inspector or painter, chimney cleaner, construction worker, demolition worker, farm laborer, that probably means factory farm, landscaper and gardeners, heating and air conditioning system installers or service persons, microbiology laboratory workers, pest control workers, restorer of historic or abandoned buildings, roofers, and spelunkers, which is a cave explorer if you didn't know. I didn't know that was an official occupation. Anyway, histoplasmosis is known to be an occupational disease associated with people who are exposed repeatedly to the unique conditions in which it thrives and is likely to be disturbed. Not casual gardeners or home improvers or casual cave explorers. And the main point of the CDC pamphlet is that a good face mask is adequate prevention when working in the high-risk conditions described. Just to reiterate, where does it thrive? Crowded, unhygienic conditions. The kind of conditions where most eggs are produced. So buying your eggs from a grocery store may mean you've reduced your personal risk of contracting it. From chickens, not from spelunking. But in any case, the risk is now being absorbed by strangers working on your behalf, whose occupation safety rating you probably have no clue of. Furthermore, if we, as a community of concerned humans, are interested in eliminating the histoplasmosis menace by reducing the number of mediums where it can thrive, then it would be our duty to all transition to backyard chickens as a source of eggs. Interestingly, my mother asked if histoplasmosis is the same thing from cat litter boxes. The answer is no, that's toxoplasmosis. And it's not a fungus. It's a rare parasitic disease that can cause serious birth defects. For the most part, concerns about toxoplasmosis are similarly overblown, although that's a show for Kitty McMeow's Precious Feline Pet broadcast. However, it does bring up an interesting perspective point. The CDC lists three diseases associated with birds, avoidable if common sense hygienic precautions are not taken. They are psittacosis, a bacterial disease associated with exotic pet birds like cockatiels, conures, and macaws, but also reported in poultry. Cryptococcus, another fungal disease, but almost entirely associated with wild bird droppings. And Salmonella, a bacterial disease that is associated with many birds, especially chickens, baby chicks, and ducklings, but also found in pet reptiles, but most commonly of all, with food from factory farms. Go to the Radio for All archives to hear my show responding to the 500 million eggs that were recalled in the United States due to salmonella contamination last year. In contrast, the CDC lists 15 diseases associated with humans living with dogs, and 14 for those with pet cats. With all due respect to indoor mammal pet keepers, when I hear of urban city councils denying backyard coop permits, or landlords changing their mind about allowing their renters to keep chickens because of disease concerns in cities full of cats and dogs, not to mention rats, pigeons, and cockroaches, I have to say, get a grip. As always, I invite listeners to send me text emails or even better sound files with their own voices, with their own experiences related to this show on preventing or avoiding disease or on any other topic that inspires you. And even intelligent challenges to the Bacaw agenda are welcome. Hearing from you makes my day and keeps the show vital. In health and having a good time, this is Bucky Bacaw. Bucky Bacaw's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.